are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, and welcome back to Locked On Brewers, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, where we talk about your favorite teams every day. I am your host, Jake Mastriani, and you can follow me on Twitter at ShortstopBall. And also joining me is my co-host, Vinny Rotino, and you can follow him on Twitter as well at Vinny Rotino. And also make sure that you follow the podcast on Twitter as well at Locked On Brewers and subscribe to the Locked On Brewers podcast wherever you get your podcast. Also, let me remind you that today's episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the Locker Room app and join me next week whenever I jump on to watch a Brewers game with you to make sure that you get in on the action. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. So on today's podcast, we're going to recap rough game on Thursday afternoon, get some of our big takeaways from that game, and then we'll preview the rest of the weekend against the Cardinals. But go through a quick game recap, and then me and Vinny will give you some of our big takeaways. So just a quick rundown. I mean, right off the bat, the Brewers had, you know, opportunity for a huge first inning against Wainwright, had the bases loaded there. But Dylan Carlson for the Cardinals made a really good play in the outfield, robbing the Brewers of having that big inning. Renzo Cain hit a deep fly there, looked like he was going to drive in a couple of runs, but again, Carlson made that great play, saved at least a couple runs, although he did cost the Cardinals a run later, which we'll get into. So that was a bit frustrating there. You know, the Brewers had a chance to really break through and have, you know, a big inning, kind of set the tone for this game, and that really kind of, you know, crushed that momentum a little bit. And then in the bottom of the first, Burns gave up a triple to Tommy Edman to start the game. A little bit of a rough play for Yelich over there in left field, but then Burns left him stranded there and really was lights out the rest of the way. That was the only hit that Burns would allow in this one, and I'm sure we'll get more into his performance more a little bit later. The Brewers had another chance. They had two on with no out in the third after Kesson Hira did score thanks to a couple of errors there, one by Wainwright and one by Carlson, allowed him to score. And Vinny, your boy Kesson, he got that bloop hit that he's been looking for.
He did. Yeah, he did. I wouldn't consider that a bloop hit, but yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully it gets him going. Hopefully we'll see him pick it up here. But yeah, he got that. Got that elusive first hit of the season and came around to score on that error, like I said. But then the Brewers still had two on with nobody out, and JBJ struck out, really just a terrible at bat, in all honesty. And then Lorenzo Cain came up and absolutely roped a ball, but hit it right at the third baseman. So that was a little bit of bad luck there. And then Narvaez flew out to end the threat. And honestly, that was really it for the offense in this one. I mean, they didn't really do much the rest of the way. So again, was really just unfortunate for the, you know, offense. They couldn't get that big hit there in those first three innings. I thought they had a chance to really get after Wainwright, put up a couple of crooked numbers early and maybe knock him out. But Wainwright, being the veteran he was able to maneuver around that and pitch a solid game for the Cardinals. But still, it was a 1-0 game. You know, like I said, Corbin Burns went six innings, gave up just one hit, no walks, no earned, 9 strikeouts, 86 pitches. Just, again, another really brilliant performance for him. The only other blemish in this one was that he hit Matt Carpenter to lead off the fourth inning. So only allowed 2 base runners in this one. Again, just an absolutely dominant performance by Corbin Burns. Me and Vinny talked about it on the last podcast, talking about, you know, some of the weaknesses for the Brewers so far this year. And it's that middle relief, and it reared its ugly head again in this game. Yardley came on in the 7th in relief of Burns, and he got the first 2 batters out, but then he gave up a single and a double, and they intentionally walked Justin Williams, which I get it. There's a base open, but I don't even – never even heard of the Justin Williams kid, so I was really, you know, not sure about that decision there. But Tyler O'Neill comes up next, gives up a hit, ties the game up. And then my guy, Drew Rasmussen, I love him. He's got, you know, he's got really great stuff. I think he's going to be a really good reliever for the Brewers. And he struck out the side in the eighth, but mixed in with that, he walked a guy in front of Nolan Arenado. And Vinny, you can't walk a guy in front of Nolan Arenado.
No, you can't. Yeah, I mean, I guess I never really had the opportunity to watch Nolan Arenado on a consistent basis, and now I will definitely get that opportunity, considering they're in the Central, and he's a beast. You know, I mean, that was a 97 mile an hour fastball that had a little boring action late, and he had no problem turning on that ball. He's incredibly strong. His bat is in the zone for days. Okay, this is a really flat swing through the zone, and it's short and quick, and he's so strong, and he uses his lower half so well in his swing. I mean, he's gonna it'll be actually pretty fun to watch him play. I mean, what a competitor too. So yeah, don't go there again, Drew Rasmussen. And if you are, I think you probably have to elevate it, but that late in the game, yeah, I probably want to kind of probably go to the slider or, you know, stay away from him. But yeah, the leadoff walk kind of set the tone there.
It was one of my biggest keys of this series too, right? You can't let the top of their lineup beat them, and Goldschmidt didn't even play in this game. So it's interesting to me that they walked Justin Williams because first base was open, but you don't walk Nolan Arenado because first base isn't open, which I get it, but you got to pitch a little bit more carefully there to their, you know, by far their best hitter in the lineup when the guy behind him is hitting, you know, .125 or whatever. I think you just got to be a little bit smarter there. And I get it. Rasmussen has great stuff. I mean, he struck out the side. He's got the confidence. He can get anybody out. I understand that. But especially today with no Goldschmidt, Arenado is the one guy in this lineup you can't let beat you. And he did. So you got the two-run homer off of Rasmussen there. And that was pretty much a wrap on this game as the Cardinals take game one of this series 3-1. We'll get into some more of our takeaways from this game. Before we do that, let me tell you about betonline.ag. They are the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. And even though the football season is over, you got NBA, NHL, and now the Major League Baseball season all in full swing. So plenty of opportunities to get in on the action. But betonline.ag does more than that. They also cover awards, TV shows, and reality TV. They have real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head on over to betonline.ag on your phone or internet browser and sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit using the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. We're covering everything you need to know about the Milwaukee Brewers, but what about the rest of sports? Now the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well with Locked On Today. It's hosted by the great Peter Bukowski, and it's all the sports news you need every morning in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get your podcast. So, Vinny, want to dive into game one of this series with the Cardinals and get some of our biggest takeaways from this one. And right off the top, Vinny, it's Corbin Burns. I mean, right now, he's the NL Cy Young leader in the clubhouse for me. I think DeGrom's only made one start, so that has something to do with it. But, just another dominant inning or outing by Corbin Burns.
Just disgusting. I mean, I'm watching him pitch, and I can't imagine having to face him. It's 96, and it's like a unique cutter. I was listening to the writer for the Brewers for the Athletic, Salmon. Will. Yeah, and he's talking about how his cutter is it doesn't drop, which so anytime major league hitters see something for the first time and see something new and see something nasty, they really don't know how to react. Usually a cutter has a little bit of a darting action away from a right-handed hitter and a right-handed cutter, a little darting action with some depth to it, right? But Corbin stays on that same plane and just kind of like it slides just horizontally across the plate, and it's moving a ton at 96. So now you have to contend with that. And then, like we talked about in the past, how he's developed and really has a two-seamer now, a two-seamer and a sinker. Well, it's really called a sinker, right? So now it's going the other way at 96 miles an hour. So good luck trying to pick which is it going to make a left turn or a right turn? You know, as a batter, you're kind of guessing at that point. And we're talking in milliseconds. It gets to the home plate much quicker than the average fastball does, because it's, you know, traveling at 96 miles an hour, 98 miles an hour. And it's got to be incredibly hard. Now he's got the curveball working today too, and the slider and the changeup. I mean, you said it. I mean, so you don't really see too many starters with that kind of head pull and really kind of a violent delivery through the baseball. You just don't. But I think this guy's an anomaly. I think he's so strong. He's so athletic. And talk about having just an absolute, talking about competitor, when we're talking about Arenado, I mean, he's on the same level as far as competitiveness and as far as, you know, how bad he wants to be great, right? And he just got that drive and that passion to be great. And I've heard a lot of stories about him in that regard. And it's just a testament to him being able to kind of be that anomaly. And that's what the great ones do. I mean, he's on the road to some really special things in this game. Again, knock on wood, we keep saying it, got to stay healthy, and I think he will. He takes care of himself, and he does all the right things that he has to do. So, but, yeah, special stuff, fun to watch for sure.
Yeah, really hate they couldn't get him the win in this one, but just another brilliant performance. Really excited about the season for him. Like you said, if he can stay healthy and, you know, keep this up over a full season, I think he'll be there for that NL Cy Young race at the end. A highlight from the offensive side, you know, we talked about Burns from the pitching side. Travis Shaw at a 3-hit day, and you know, it's nothing really spectacular, but he just keeps spraying balls all over the field, putting together really good at bats. I mean, he's hitting 316 right now, and they got him behind Yelich, which I really liked, even though it's, you know, back-to-back lefties in the lineup. But put your better hitters at the top, and right now Shaw is one of your better hitters, and I thought that was a really smart move by Council. The other guys at the top of the lineup didn't really get it done. You know, we talked about Hira. He did have the hit. Wong had a leadoff walk to start the game. Yelich had a walk, but not really any other big production coming out at the top of the lineup. But keeping it positive here, Shaw's been a really good addition to this team, Vinny. Really like the at-bats that I've seen from him.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, what I'm seeing from him that I think is going to help him this year is that I heard when he really struggled in 2019, he kind of made some swing adjustments, and he's trying to get to more of a launch angle type of a swing in his path. For me, it got real sweepy, and he lost the timing aspect of his swing. He had that kind of like leg hang in the air, and then it would kind of crash down when he timed up that fastball. So that leg crashes, that front leg was coming down. It was like timed up perfectly for a heater. And then he had the ability to kind of ride out and stay in his legs and stay in the ground anytime there was an off-speed pitch coming. And so now I see that from him again. I see that little hang in the air. Next time you watch an at-bat from him, kind of take note of that little hang move with his front leg. And you know that he's feeling it when he's able to kind of time it up and kind of crash to the hitting position, if that makes sense, kind of land with that front foot, foot's coming down as soon as that fastball is getting in the hitting zone, and you know he's feeling it. So when he does that, in the past couple of years, in 19 especially, I didn't see that from him. He kind of lost the feel of that, and you saw, and it was just kind of, it wasn't the same Shaw, and I'm hoping, and I saw that today in a couple of at-bats, so I'm encouraged that maybe we're getting the other version of Travis Shaw back, and he's playing a good third base as well. So that would be nice.
Yeah, for sure. Like I said, I love the addition in spring training. Was really high on him, the at-bats I saw. So good to see him carrying that into the regular season. Again, a 3-hit day, just kind of spraying the ball all over the field, really just being a good complete hitter, working the counts, having good at-bats, exactly what this lineup needs. Somebody that really needs to pick it up now, kind of going to the bad side of all of this, is Luis Urias. And we talked the other day, you know, with RC being traded, this job is his, you know, for better or worse. It's his opportunity to prove it. And right now he's not getting it done. I get it. It's one weekend. but Arias really has to get going. Another over for Day, went over three. Didn't strike out, which I guess is kind of encouraging, but you know, as bad as Keston here has been, and we talk about that, Luis Arias has been pretty much just as bad. He's gotten two hits on the season. So been a really, really struggle for the shortstop to begin the season with the Brewers, Vinny.
Yeah. Yeah, it has been. So for me, I'm going to focus on the positives with his glove. He made a really nice play coming in on a ball, really nice play. And so that's what I'm going to focus on for now. Because as long as he's playing defense, I think that is going to keep him in ball games. If that starts to go south, then that'll really impact the team in a negative way, because he's playing shortstop. And we're used to, you know, Orlando Arcia, who is very, very good. I saw some really special things from him at times with the glove. If Luis Arias can give the team solid defense, you know, I think the bat, he'll produce enough with the bat to be of value for the Milwaukee Brewers. Now, it is concerning that right now, you know, he seems overmatched, you know, at times. And, you know, perhaps it's just an example of him just needing to get comfortable at the big league level. He is coming off of those injuries from last year and COVID and the broken hand. So, we'll see. He's performed in the past. He's performed in the minor leagues. He was a really good player in the minor leagues. So sometimes you just have to be patient, Jake.
Yep. No, for sure. And like I said, it's his job. So we're going to see him there, you know, again, for better or worse. So hopefully he can kind of get it together. And again, he's batting eighth. So, you know, not the biggest key in the world to this offense going, certainly not, you know, expecting him to carry this offense, but definitely would like to see him get it going, get some hits, you know, have a couple balls drop in here, there, and get things going. But overall, I mean, just straight honestly, this is a disappointing game for the Brewers. Not going to sugarcoat it. This is a matchup me and Vinny both said, you know, it's one they should win. You got to win going up against your division rival in the Cardinals. You got your best pitcher on the mound, and he absolutely dominates. You got a 40-year-old on the mound, and while Wainwright is good, he's a veteran. He knows what he's doing. I really thought this was a game that the offense could break out, put up some big numbers, and had some opportunities early, but just couldn't get it done. So a really disappointing game for me from the Brewers. I thought this was a game they should have won, could have set the tone in this series, again, against their biggest rival in the Central, and just weren't able to get it done. Next, we're going to talk about Colton Wong and talk about a signing that the Brewers made, and then we'll preview the rest of the weekend matchup. Before we do that, let me remind you that this show is brought to you by our friends at Built Bar. If you're looking for a fantastic tasting protein bar, then look no further. Built Bar has a ton of flavors and a wide variety of flavors at that. It's not just your chocolate chip, fudge, and cookies and cream, which are some of my favorites, but they also have almond toffee or mint, obviously the peanut butter fudge, the dark chocolate raspberry. There's a ton of really interesting flavors, really cool flavors that you don't normally get in protein bars. And it's something that's going to give you a very unique taste, and also something that tastes very good. They're not hard as a rock like a lot of the other protein bars out there. They have a soft middle, so it makes it very easy to get down, very easy to chew, and tasty as well. And they're also good for you, as most of them only have about 5 net carbs. So whether you like to take them before workout, after workout, or as a meal replacement, or whether they're just a snack for you like they are for me, you can eat them anytime, and they're packed with protein. There aren't a lot of carbs involved, so it's a good treat for you to be able to have, and they taste amazing. Can't tell you enough how good they are, especially for a protein bar. So go to builtbar.com today and try a bunch of different flavors to figure out which ones are your favorites. So go to builtbar.com, use our promo code LOCKEDON20 to get 20% off your next order. Go to builtbar.com today and use the promo code LOCKEDON20. If you're the type of baseball fan that can't help but get giddy over prospects, we have the podcast for you. Locked On MLB Prospects, hosted by minor league play-by-play voice Aram Layton, is the only daily podcast devoted entirely to the stars of tomorrow. From team-focused farm system breakdowns, prospect rankings, and interviews with some of the brightest up-and-comers in the game, Locked On MLB Prospects is the best way to get plugged in on the future of your favorite team. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts. So, Vinny, some unfortunate news coming out after this game. Wong left late in the game, and it was reported that he does have a left oblique strain, and it could require a stint on the IL. Certainly some difficult news for the Brewers. Their leadoff hitter, a guy we've talked about that I think, you know, is the key to this offense getting going at the top of the lineup, you know, and he's been struggling lately, and maybe this is part of it. Maybe he's been dealing with this oblique and trying to battle through it and play through it. But, you know, certainly some unfortunate news for the Brewers here, Vinny. They could be without their Gold Glove second baseman for a good bit of time.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. I caught that news late as I was listening to the press conference, and I was in and out of paying attention, and I was like, who did they say? So that's unfortunate. It's Wong. He really does makes the team. Just he impacts the team on the defensive side of the ball for sure, and the energy he brings. And when he does get on base early on in the season, I know he's been struggling with the bat or whatever, but there he's a threat to run. He puts pressure on the opposing defense, opposing pitchers. So that's unfortunate. I guess it's Daniel Robertson's show now, right? I'm trying to think what the Brewers are going to do here if Wong is out.
Yeah.
So it's Robertson at second and Urias at short, right?
Well, the other news that came out today as well is that the Brewers signed D. Strange Gordon to a minor league deal. I don't exactly know the timing if this was in response to Wong. I'm thinking this was earlier in the day, but maybe they knew something was going on with Wong. But they'll have D. Strange Gordon coming along as well as depth there. But yeah, I would imagine Robertson probably get starts right away, especially because the intake process for D. Gordon will take some time, but they'll at least have him for backup. Wouldn't be surprised if he gets added to the roster, but likely will be Daniel Robertson stepping up in the meantime for Wong to get those starts to second base.
Yeah, no, I saw that you tweeted that out, Jake. Yeah. And that, I like that, you know, he's an impactful player. I know he's kind of had some regression these last 2 years, but he was an impactful player on the defensive side of the ball in the past. Hopefully he can find that again. I don't know. I haven't seen him much in the last 2 years, but honestly, that's kind of what they need, and someone to get on base and kind of do exactly what Colton Wong's able to do, put the pressure on the other team. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. That's unfortunate. So,
yeah, really, really hate it for Wong, especially, you know, it's an emotional day for him going back to Busch Stadium in front of his old team, you know, and then to leave the game like this and maybe be out for a little while. They still haven't, you know, made it official. I'm sure he's hoping he can avoid an IL stint, but I'm guessing this early in the season, they'll probably be cautious. And if it's that bad and aggravating him, that they'll place him on the IL for a little bit, but hopefully it's nothing serious and hopefully he can be back soon. Cause like you said, I mean, makes a huge impact on this team, you know, both defensively and at the top of the order. So Vinny, me and you were both wrong about game one of this series, as the Brewers fell to the Cardinals and Adam Wainwright, but got two more shots at it over the weekend. Again, they're off on Friday. And then you got Saturday's matchup. You have Adrian Hauser against Carlos Martinez, and then you have Brett Anderson against Ponce de Leon on Sunday. So, we talked about it before. I think most of these games are kind of toss-ups. You never know exactly which Carlos Martinez you're going to get. You know, if the Brewers see the good version of Martinez, then good luck on Saturday. Could be another tough one. And we don't know what version of Adrian Hauser we're going to get either. So I think both these next two games are question marks. One thing for sure is that the Brewers offense has to get going, Vinny. They've got to take advantage when they get these runners on base. And again, they need that big hit somewhere to drive in some runs if they're going to come back and take this series.
Yeah, 100%, Jake. I think what a weird game, right? Because if Lorenzo Cain's ball drops, that's what a start to that game. The floodgates are open. Wainwright's back is against the wall. Instead, he gets out of it, and now Wainwright is just executing like Wainwright does, right, after that, and just kind of mows him down. I know there was another opportunity to score. I think it was the third, right?
Yep.
Yeah, but because that ball didn't drop, because Carlson made that great play, guess what? Now Wainwright gets to relax, sit down, gather himself, make his pitches. It's such a weird game. Now, what will also happen is they'll get a couple of walk and two bloops, and then all of a sudden the floodgates open that way as well. So it's coming. We got to continue to stay optimistic that the bats are going to show up, and they will. I think they just need one of those big hits, and they need something to fall their way in order for that to happen.
Yeah, for sure. And it's coming. I know it's coming, but you know, as a fan, it's hard to just sit here and, you know, the games are going by, and the Brewers have a 3-4 record. You know, they've been able to get some wins. It's not like they're, you know, 1-5 or whatever the A's are right now. I think they're like 1-6 or something. So, you know, certainly not hitting the panic button, but this was a game, again, I thought they really should have won, could have set the tone in this series, given the Brewers a chance to win a big road series against the Cardinals. But hopefully they'll come back over the weekend, get some good starts out of Hauser and Brett Anderson. And like I said, come back and win the series. Me and Vinny will be back on Monday to recap the rest of this Cardinals series and to preview the round two with the Chicago Cubs. But that will do it for this episode of Locked On Brewers. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Brewers, and make sure that you subscribe to the Locked On Brewers podcast wherever you get your podcast. And we'll talk to you next time.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.